This is November the 26th.
Today?
Today's the 17th.
The 17th, huh? Okay. Today is November the 17th, and I'm at Craig's home in Beaver Creek, Oregon, and with me are Craig and Elsie and George Charner. And I am about to read out loud a very precious letter that Elsie received on Christmas morning of 1922 from Grandpa and Grandma Dogan. And it says, "Our dear little girl, I cannot send you just a pretty card or a sweet sentiment, and I have no money to express even a tiny wish of happiness. How much less could I express by a gift the abundance of joy and happiness we wish you? If it will add to the joy of your Christmas to hear again the story of our love and appreciation of you, I will gladly repeat it, for between Mrs. Dogan and myself, our love for you is a frequent topic. We do appreciate your gentle ways and your loving service. It is just these qualities that cannot that count in sharing Christ's love to the world, showing Christ's love to the world. May your Christmas and New Year be full of joy, and may your highest hopes in life's journey be realized. Mr. and Mrs. W.J. Dogan." And it's on Dogan Guernsey Farm paper, W.J. Dogan, Beloit, Wisconsin, 12-23-22. Well, that is a beautiful letter.
Beautiful. Thanks so much.
Are you at a place where you can get the table
jacket? Oh, yeah. My brother-in-law, he's got help. It would be a natural way of learning about it. They're found in America. They were quite famous about it. They wanted to learn about it. So, the Mr. and Mrs. Dogan came down to our bed, stayed with our friend, and interviewed him, and talked to him. I can see him now. And we couldn't talk English yet very much. I could get But they said, "Well, what about me?" You know, they were wondering. Didn't know if he should take him and leave me alone. But just with their sister, with my sister as his wife, and she was expecting a 3 month old ahead. And he was. But finally, Mrs. Dugan said, "Well, I could use a help in the kitchen and keeping house, and then we'd be fine for Elsie." So my brother-in-law, he thought, we went to look at it at the farm, and it impressed him so much that he just gave up the present business. He wanted to say, "All right, I'll come to try to learn it." He never did pop the milk and all that. The whole dairy. But we had higher thoughts, let us come. And that's how we started there. It was wonderful. It impressed us too. It was a different, country than the farm. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful. Mm-hmm. It isn't quite the same now.
Oh, no. No, it is still beautiful.
It is. It's the first time we saw it last year now. In all these years, we were right there up in Bellevue. And never went down here. But we finally saw it again. It's so wonderful.
Let's see if we're getting any of this or if it's too faint.
We've been picking it up pretty well before.
Yeah, well, the Charners have said that Bob Alder was a professor in Zurich. He had just graduated. He had just finished. And he wanted to be a professor. So he came over to the...
And he was a doctor of agriculture.
Doctor of agriculture. So he came over to the States, and he was going to take some more school at the University of Wisconsin. And And then how did he find out about the Dogen farm?
The people we stayed with our parents.
And people that you stayed with. Now you came on that trip, right?
Yes.
You and
my sister
Irma.
Irma and Robert.
And Robert came.
There are three of us.
The three of you.
In
and you were the
81.
You were the little sister, right?
21.
Mm-hmm. In 1921.
Yeah.
And so you stayed with someone.
With us old friends from Switzerland. Mother's friends.
Your mother's friends from Switzerland.
My mother and dad had passed away. I was all alone.
But you knew George back in Switzerland.
He stayed with us as a student.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then we worked in a banking school for 2 years, and I knew him all the time. And I said, I wanted to go with him and learn the talk. He said, oh, go on, that's all right, I could do. And I said, if you don't come, I come back in a year. Next year I'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, I'll stay a year. But you know, we just went good friends, really.
Mm-hmm.
And in love, but it was a different way of being in love than it is now. He was a gentleman. And so we stayed, then my family went to the Dugans.
So now before this, Bob had heard about the Dogen farm and had met Gramp and Grandma, and they had offered him a job.
Yes.
And he decided to, rather than go to school, to learn about things firsthand by being on the farm.
Yeah, he thought that would be a good idea. I don't know. And he thought, all right, I want to go and see the farm, see how it is. They were so nice. But Mr. and Mrs. Dugan, the first time we had the meeting with them, and it impressed Bob. And he said, I'm going to see the place. And he did, and he loved it. He thought, why not? He could just learn doing things, you know. And we went, and they took me in as a
helper.
Yeah.
So you said, what about me?
Yeah.
And then Grandma said, I can use you in the kitchen.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she too did. She was more patient with me because I couldn't say English yet. She used to tell me, go down cellar. We all kept our raw vegetables down cellar. Everything was down cellar.
I know those root cellar. Mm-hmm.
And then I'd bring up the wrong thing sometimes. I remember she said, get some potatoes and I bring up some beets. But she's never, she just kind of smiled and said, no, no, that's not it. Nice and patient, very patient, wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I just fell in love with that family.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like her own family. It really was.
So then where did
table like that.
You sat at the big table, right?
The big table, all of us, and breakfast, said prayers, only eat. But we never stop eating before he comes and sit down and said prayers.
Mm-hmm. And after the meal, would he then do any Bible reading or do any prayer? Do you remember that?
No, not much, except sometimes in the evening, yes.
Mm-hmm.
In the evening, yes.
Because some people have remembered some of those episodes of some Bible study after the supper.
Yes, yes, we did. After supper.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm too old to remember those things.
Well, I'll nudge your memory and then you may.
Yeah, that's right.
And meanwhile, you'll probably be nudging your own memory as you say things.
Oh, yes.
Where did Bob and Irma live?
In top of the day.
Over the milk house?
Over the milk house. I had a small room and they had a big room.
Mm-hmm.
I have a picture of
it. Okay.
So. No, I had no idea. No, I don't look back. I must have lived in a big house.
Yeah, you were in a big house and all the other ones.
You probably lived up there in the dormitory. With there was a row of rooms there at the top of the stairs.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
it's bad. I'm forgetful. There's no potatoes to be able to get around.
I'm gonna hit up one.
Here's the version of how Craig met the Charners.
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear it your way and then we'll hear it their way.
I was on call at the trauma clinic at night about 8:30 at Sunnyside Hospital. And a charming couple came in and discussed their medical problems and came to a conclusion. Before they left, I said, "You talk just like Auntie Irma." And the name Charner didn't mean anything to me at the time. Mrs. Charner said, "Auntie Irma? Irma who?" And I said, "Irma Alder." And similar to this. And from Wisconsin, and she said, "Yes, that's my sister." And I said, "Bob Alder, Yvonne, George's mother." And then we talked about Grandma and Grandpa. Well, they worked for Grandma and Grandpa on the Dogan farm. And the rest you've been reporting.
So that was quite a surprise, wasn't it?
Unbelievable.
Now, when he said you sound just like my Auntie Irma, what was your thought when that happened?
Well, this is like a miracle after all those years to find the Dogan.
And I didn't have a name tag on either.
No.
Uh-huh.
No.
You see, what we owe this to is Craig's speaking up about things and saying things beyond what is necessary. If he had just said, "You have an interesting accent,"
yeah,
that would have been the end of it. But then you might have said, "Oh, we're Swiss."
Well, I was walking out the door there and said, "Hey, wait a minute, come back in."
Mm-hmm.
And he went back in and then he started talking and found out he was the son of Mr. Duke.
Mm-hmm.
You went in the office and shut the door and don't put him in the
hall. Don't bother me.
Yeah, so the nurse would peek in.
Yeah, I had about seven people waiting for me when I left.
And I felt so marvelous. Unbelievable.
Small world.
Yeah. Well, then when Craig called me.
That's so close to us and yet you didn't know.
I'd been doing enough work on the farm so that when he told me the story and said the name, I said, "Oh, yes, I know who the Charners are."
Did
you? Yeah, I had your name and the times that you'd worked on the farm and all that already, so that when he said Charner, I knew immediately, and I said, "Yes, the sister of Irma Alder." And so Craig called me immediately, then I told him to get a hold of you people and to tape it all, but he didn't write off and didn't manage, and so when it looked like I was going to get out here, well, I said, "All right, I'll come and do it, and let's make it an occasion."
Yeah, Mr. Dugan was our Daddy Dugan.
Daddy Dugan, that's what
it was. You call it Irma Alder, Robert Alder, Auntie Irma, huh?
Auntie Irma and
Uncle Bob.
Uncle Bob, yeah. Well, Uncle Bob, that stayed with us all the time. We didn't call him nothing but Uncle Bob to everybody.
And I remember their big house up there at Elkhorn, that big square brick house there out in the country on the corner.
Well, the brick house, that's, the Alders bought that, I guess, but they had one of the hands that works for Alder, lives there.
Well,
I think he still does.
At one point, I think we visited them there at that house. I had the feeling when I was a child they were living in that house for a while.
I don't think so. They live down below, down the street, the next house down. What's the name of that street? Devendorf.
In town?
Yvonne lives still there now.
Yeah, Yvonne lives there.
Yvonne took over
the big house.
Mm-hmm. The Berry and George and Yvonne run the Berry.
Mm-hmm.
But George not lives in Delavan, but Yvonne lives in Elkhorn.
Same old.
Mm-hmm.
So a two-story.
Well, we were always going to, Joanne was always going to marry Bob Alder, and Patty was going to marry George, and I was going to marry Yvonne.
And, you know that?
Oh yeah, we had that all figured out.
You know that well?
Yes.
We'd go and visit them. No.
And then they'd come down to the farm and visit, so that, and for a while, Joanne actually did go out with Bob Alder, for a while, my oldest sister.
The elders thought
she also went out with Trevor Jones. You must know the Trevor Joneses of Elkhorn.
Yeah, the Joneses, sure. They had the St. Bernard dogs.
I'm not sure about
that.
Yeah,
monument maker.
I don't know what he did. I knew Mrs. Jones. I don't think I ever met him.
See, he was a milkman peddling
milk. Did you see here? George was named George Wesson.
Yeah.
And Robert is Robert Trevor.
And Robert was Robert Trevor.
Yeah.
And what was Yvonne's middle name?
He didn't. Custard.
Yes, she has.
But it's probably not Logan influenced.
That's
funny.
Yes,
I know he has a second name, but
they always were. They were always just lovely boys.
Oh, they're wonderful. We always get along nice with them.
Custard or pecan?
Oh my goodness.
Or both?
Tired.
No, this is young Bob has a
Mr.
tree farm, and he's retired.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't seem like he'd be old enough.
I like the
60
pecan.
What?
Yeah.
He was born in 21 when he came to the Doolin farm.
He's 9 years older than me, 62.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's 62.
Still young to retire.
Not
if you can do it.
Well, he's been retired quite a few years.
If I could, I would. Raise ducks.
I don't know whether he has a pension from the Air Force or not.
He
could have stayed there a few more years and would have had a big pension.
Did you know he was in Korea?
He went to work for...
Oh, if he was in Korea, then he was in for more than 20 years.
Wasn't it New Guinea?
Yeah.
And he was shot at... He was near an airplane. They shot at the airplane, and the boy next to him flying was knocked down and died. And he was only hurt by his leg.
Shot in the foot, but he got away. Elsie just said, do you know what was the hardest task for me at the Doolin farm at first?
And finally, Mrs. Dugan said, I had to kill the chicken. When we had chicken for dinner, I had to go get one and
chop the head off.
And it was so hard for me to lay that poor chicken on that wooden
block.
The chopping block.
Chopping block.
Mm-hmm.
Outside the kitchen there. Then I grabbed the thing. Had to kill that poor little head. I had to cut it off.
Mm-hmm.
Poor little head. And then I had to go and undo the whole thing, you know.
Pluck it,
and then inside and everything.
Mm.
But she gave me time to get used to it. That finally said, now Elsie, you have to try it and do it. And so I did, and that was a hard thing for me.
If we ever eat one of those ducks, I'm going to make Barbara do it. I couldn't bear to kill one of my ducks.
They were nice to me, chickens, you know, they were like a pet. No way. And I had to go and pick it up. The boys used to do it for us before, but she said finally I...
Some decaf coffee?
Thank you.
I had to do it.
Did you work when,
No, they were gone by then.
Were we gone?
Craig wasn't born until 1930.
Oh, well, they were gone. But well, Ron was 18. 1920 when he left.
And here's the sugar and the cream.
Must have been about 23 when we left.
Yeah. If you were there with the Stams, well, you must have been there close to 23.
They were nice people. And if 21, 22, 23.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
Because they came about then.
We bought a car together with the Stams.
Then drop
it. Car.
did it have a cloth roof?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When you
left, did you leave it with the Stams? Did he
the
buy you off?
The Stams bought our car, yeah.
I know that car.
No.
My pet goat went through the roof of it.
Oh, no.
Because he was still driving that car long after other people had gone to more modern models. Mm-hmm. So that was an old-fashioned car.
Are they still alive, Mr.
No, I have them on tape, both of them. But they died several years ago.
They live in Beloit?
Yes, all their lives they did.
They were so nice to us. And Mrs. Was like a friend to me after we were there.
Moo, you know? We called her. Mildred.
Right.
And she lived. They lived over the milk house. They must have taken that apartment after the Alders left.
Did I tell you that Mr. Dugan told me to come over and live with them? He wouldn't let me live alone in that. And I was lonely.
Mm-hmm.
Alders were gone. My sister.
So you came over and lived.
Yes, you come and have.
Oh, there he is.
Bedroom over here.
Mm-hmm.
Right next to them, I had the bedroom next to them. Mm-hmm. That was a lovely one.
Mm-hmm.
So concerned. Just wonderful. Yeah.
Tell her about the pie you had to make.
Oh, no.
I'd like to hear that.
Would you believe it? The first pie. I made the pie crust, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't turn out right. And I didn't even want Mrs. Dugan to see it. She said I should try. Try it, make one. And it was terrible. And because I never made pies before.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, oh well, I'd crumble it all up and feed it to the chickens. So nobody knew. But the chickens wouldn't even eat it. Step back.
What did you put in it?
Oh, no, not that. It was not crumbly enough.
So then everybody saw what had happened because there it lay.
What's that, you know? Oh my God. But Mrs. Dugan didn't scold me.
Do you want any cream, Jackie?
Yes, please.
Did you still make the oatmeal cookies that Mrs. Dugan showed you how?
Oh, yes.
She was just saying.
I made some yesterday again. That's all we make, and my family loves it.
I wonder if we have that oatmeal cookie recipe.
I remember.
I have it.
Now I want to get it.
And I call it Mrs. Dugan's oatmeal cookies for all these years.
60 years.
That's about all I do, make cookies.
Mm-hmm.
But they love them. They say, hey, Graham, have you got any cookies? Any of your cookies, you know? And they come.
Well, you get that, Barbara. Get that recipe.
Nowadays, the oatmeal is not as coarse. So, what is it that I put in that it has to have? That you buy me. Hold on.
Granola.
Granola. You know, the open one, you know, the open one that comes in.
And then the oatmeal now is more processed or instant.
Yeah, instant. And we had the old fashioned, old, bigger. But I would have preferred granola. I wish I knew that you had the old fashioned granola. I should have tried it.
I haven't seen any.
I haven't either.
Mr. Chairman, if you turn around, there's the borzoi right behind you.
Not only do we have animals, but our animals have friends who come visit.
Well, that. Greyhound race dog.
The borzoi. It's a German.
Look at the letter.
I don't know German. That's a
Russian
hunting dog.
They use them in the commercial with Russian vodka, where they have people dressed.
Like the Tsar.
I'm trying to think of the movie.
Zhivago?
Yes, Dr. Zhivago. They have the two people sitting there and then the borzoi.
And that particular borzoi is the grandpa of these doggies.
Our neighbor breeds them. They're quite expensive dogs. And if he knew this one was out over here playing, he would have a fit.
He's a nice dog, folks.
But they're kind of slim and long like the greyhound.
We have a whippet in the neighborhood, and whenever the door is open, my whippet comes walking in and walks through the house. And I don't much care for a whippet. I think they're ugly. They look like they've been put in a vise and squeezed like that.
Well, one of the nurses has a whippet. Got his tail run over and they had to amputate him. She's got a whippet without a tail. Bad looking dog. We talk about a whippet come walking in, Jackie. A couple of years ago, we had a duck that wanted to be a house duck.
Her
name was Rebecca Duck. And she come in the house if the door was open, follow the dogs in, walk out. But you don't want to startle a duck in the house because they're not neat.
And you're out. And I discover them because our boy that's in the Navy loves pecan pie. And whenever he is home, I was getting so tired of making up pecan pies, and I found them.
Very good supper.
Very good.
Thank you, dear.
In writing this book, I've been getting a lot of people on tape and hearing a lot of stories from all different times. And I don't remember who it is. I'd have to go look up in my notes who told me a story about Bob Alder, which was a near catastrophe.
Yeah, that's what
in
I
that
told
he was. You told me that one?
Yeah, I know.
What flying?
No.
No, I'm talking about when he started to back a team
I don't remember that.
And a wagon down from the upper barn. And he wasn't able to do it. And somehow the wagon went sideways and hung over the side.
Uh-huh.
And the horses, it was a close thing as to whether the horses would in the wagon and all of them would go over the side of the barn there. And Bob Alder was getting more and more flustered and more upset, and I think finally Grandpa had to come. And because he was getting so upset that the horses were getting more and more upset, and so he retired Bob from the job and managed to coax the, either undo the horses, I'd have to read the...
Would that be on the Dugan farm?
Yeah.
Yeah, but when did
Bob... They went to see him. They went to visit.
No, this was him, he was working on the Dugan farm. When Bob Alder.
Oh, you mean Bob Alder.
Oh, Daddy Alder.
Oh.
Daddy Alder, Big Bob.
Oh, I see.
Oh, no, I don't remember that.
Well, this might have been... Well, you were there, weren't you?
Sure.
Well, you might not have known about it.
You might have. Didn't want everybody to know about it.
You might have been in the house, and maybe that wouldn't have been told about.
It might not.
But somebody else that was working out on the farm.
Sure.
Recalled the time that Bob Alder.
That could be.
That the horses.
Well, he wasn't used to do that.
Yeah. You know? And that was a tricky place.
He's a farmer boy, though.
Yeah, but after he was grown up and all that, he wasn't used to
it. I thought you were talking about the young Alder in Elkhorn. They got the same kind of entrance to the barn there, too.
Yeah. Goes but up. You know what happened there to George Wesson? Yeah, he fell off kicked. A horse, got kicked.
No, he got kicked while he was
riding
with the horses. No,
was
in the barn.
In the barn,
yeah.
Kicked. Mm-hmm. And then he he was very seriously injured for a while, and he got epilepsy.
He's still taking medicine.
He still has it. I mean, he
takes pills.
She keeps
him on the medicine.
He's fine,
all right.
Married, 5 children, darling. I got a picture of the whole.
He used to go on the milk out with me.
Young boys.
Quite often, then stay. And stayed at the house every so often.
Yeah,
just fall over. First time it happened, we were so scared. We called the doctor right away. He laid on the couch.
Yeah, in the living room.
I don't know what the doctor said.
He was just young then.
Dr. Crow.
High school boy yet. Helped
him with
the milk
out. But he's been taking medicine for it, and of course his wife keeps him on it, and he's perfectly all right.
He hasn't had attacks since.
Hmm. After they got married, he went to some business school in Boston, I believe, so he could run the business. He was there for a year or so. No, he's running the business. He's the boss.
The Dean's Milk.
Yeah.
Dean's Milk, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They don't peddle by quarts, you know, just big businesses. Stores.
Well, by quarts, sure. But just the stores, not retail.
Anyone? Would you like any cup of coffee?
No, thank you. One is enough.
Yeah, be at
it. No, no.
Thank you.
It's good coffee.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I told you, Evie and George, that we met you.
Should have taken the camera along, huh?
They remember
some pictures
me, yeah. Just a little boy.
Very good. Yeah, why didn't you take the camera along?
I don't use it so much anymore, I used to.
So you mentioned it, George. Mentioned
I have about 15 albums for pictures.
Well, you were out there since you met Craig, and but I didn't know about it in time, so I didn't get up, and I don't know if I could have anyway. But was it the summertime you were there, or was it spring or fall?
In Beloit?
Yeah, when you were in Beloit.
No, that was a year ago. That was in...
was it a year ago? It's summer because I was that bitten by insect bite. That's why I went.
Oh, wait a minute. It must have been in the fall because the beautiful fall colors.
Yeah.
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 It was in September, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It wasn't the fall.
And I guess Dad called me and said, but there wasn't any way of... I called Yvonne's, tried to get a hold of you people, but nobody answered.
Oh.
And then you were going on. So I didn't get a hold of you last fall when you were there.
Yeah, you were there. Oh, we are always going to Wisconsin.
Folks had a picnic in the back there. Not a picnic, an outside barbecue or buffet for all the people who used to work for them.
Oh,
and Jackie went around with her recorder
and
got all the stories from people who had been there years and years ago, and it was so interesting to hear everybody.
Do you remember the names of anybody besides the Stams who were there when you were there?
That's what I would hope. I have a list of yours. You can
she has a...
Of the questions?
A boy that used to start the fire every morning for her.
At 4 o'clock, I had to put a hat to get up. That's another hard thing for a city girl.
But she doesn't know the name.
I agree. Can you imagine that? A city girl getting up at 4 o'clock, and that nice boy, a farm boy, he said he'd come over and start the fire for me. Probably Mrs. Dugan had him do it for me then.
Mm-hmm.
And I got up about 4:30 in the morning.
Did he live on the farm, the boss?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. It was one of the hired...
One of the hired ones. And then I had to get up there. I could sleep a half hour longer.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to get breakfast, you know. And Mrs. Dugan would come about 6 o'clock. She'd come down.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had to sit and had to learn all that. And I couldn't speak perfect English yet. I had to learn all this, what's this, what's that, you know? Mm-hmm. But she was so patient, even if I made mistakes, which is, you couldn't do without mm-hmm. mistakes when you don't know the language.
Yeah.
But she was so patient. Oh, like Daddy says in his letter.
Mm-hmm.
So it worked out gradually. I got
gradually learned the language. And
oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes. We knew a little bit before we came to America.
Mm-hmm.
Because we knew we had to know language. So I took lessons and we went to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Daddy Dugan married us.
Yeah, he married us. I got the picture.
There was two ministers.
Yeah.
The Elkhorn minister and Daddy Dugan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And where was the ceremony?
In Elkhorn.
In Elkhorn.
Outside Elkhorn, Bethel Church.
Mm-hmm. And when were you married?
1925, the 12th of May.
12th of May in 1925. Well, Vera would have been there by then, my mother.
Oh.
Would have been back at the farm. Because Dad got married in 1924. Ronald did.
Uh-huh.
Ronald did?
Yeah.
Well, Mr. and Mrs. Dugan were both there.
Oh, they were both in the
yeah.
picture. I got them both in the picture.
Oh, well, that's what I want to see, too.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. It's a small picture, but
what I'd like is eventually to get those pictures blown up. Well, I don't want to take your pictures, but what I could do is
more than one.
Well, let's see them. What I've put in for a grant to get pictures copied and enlarged, and I'm not ready to work on pictures yet, but.
Mm-hmm.
But I certainly want to see your pictures, and I've gotten some terrific pictures from earlier at the farm that I'm going to use in the book if possible.
Yes, yes.
Of course, they're all black and white.
That's fine.
At that time.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
We're sitting in the living room now, and we're going to look at some pictures.
Yeah.
Craig, you've seen some of these, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, well.
Would you want to see a wedding picture?
Yes.
Here's the wedding picture, and here is Mama Dugan. And okay. Daddy Dugan is right here.
Uh-huh.
But he should be here because that was his, you know, he was the minister.
Yeah.
And this is my sister next to me here.
Yeah, I recognize her.
And here's Uncle Bob, that's her husband.
Mm-hmm.
And Cruzy, he's another one that works for me.
I don't know what a Cruzy works for.
Yeah, Cook Cruzy.
I think so. Just a minute.
That's
yeah.
Davis
and okay. Well, then we see. I recognize Dallas Davis, and there's
sure.
Bob Alder,
sure.
And who's this? Who are these two women?
You tell me.
Okay.
Golly, that was what's his her name? You know her. A friend of Bob's too.
Uh huh. Anybody else from the farm? Who is
that's Cruzy's wife there?
Yeah. Maybe
that. No, that's.
She wasn't married.
Mm-hmm.
No, no. He knows. But this is Esther Dugan.
Is that Esther?
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's Esther.
There's Esther.
What is it?
Okay.
Wasn't Davis's girl named Esther too?
No, she had, I tried to think of it the other day. I don't remember. She was the same thing. She was adopted, sort of.
Not she was a foster own. Child.
Yeah,
she yeah.
was adopted.
Mm-hmm. Now, did the Marstons come?
Who?
The Marstons down the road?
No.
Eloise or?
No.
Or?
I don't think we knew that.
No, we know.
Albert Marston or Laura Marston?
No.
They were on the next farm.
The Smiths.
Smiths.
Might have known them, but we forgot.
No.
Them.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
But these are all Swiss friends from Deloitte, you know. Here is the lady we stayed with
uh-huh.
when we came, and this is another one.
Uh-huh. Well, I do see Grandpa and Grandma there.
And there's Grandma and Grandpa.
Well, right here is
yeah.
Grandma, Grandpa, and over
oh,
here
yours.
Is Grandma.
Oh,
mine.
No, this is Grandma.
Yeah, that's Eunice right there, and Wesson
this
right
is,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of peeping around.
And my sister is here.
Uh-huh.
And this is Robert
Dahl. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't know. And little Bob is here too.
Yeah.
their little Bob, he was 40 years old when he got married. Mm-hmm. And George Wesson was only about 2. He stayed over at some point.
Okay. Now that's young Bob.
Young Bob.
Okay. Okay, there's young Bob. What's this picture behind here? Did I miss that one? That one I didn't see.
Just another one of the same day. Cruzy.
Okay. Cruzy. And and this is you,
me,
and this is George,
George,
and then who is this?
Esther.
Now, Esther stood up with you?
Oh, yes. She was the flower girl, or what would you call her? Bridesmaid.
She was a bridesmaid?
Oh, yes.
Okay, fine. Well, we're getting close to the end there.
She was the bridesmaid.
Okay, she was the, Esther was a bridesmaid.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the same thing. There's little Babu.
Uh-huh.
We call them Bobby, and that's us.
And that's Bob and Irma.
Bob, that's just the four of us, yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
From the older family here.
Yeah, now here's the whole older family now. See, this is Yvonne, this is George Wesson, and this is Bob, Robert Roth.
Uh-huh.
And that's their families. Too hard to say who's who.
Uh-huh. And this was
Here
Irma.
Uncle Bob, yes.
And Uncle Bob,
yeah.
There, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now, they died fairly recently, didn't they?
Well, he died first. He was very sick in 79. Irma died in 1980.
I should have gotten over there, you see, and I didn't. I didn't realize.
Yeah.
I was getting people.
He was in a hospital. They were both in a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why the family let her do that. Go in a nursing home.
But they had a beautiful place, though, in Janesville.
Oh, but you hear me and Uncle Bob?
Yeah.
At first, yeah. After they quit in Delavan, the business, the milk business and everything, they retired.
Uh-huh.
They had a beautiful home.
Mm-hmm. Well,
they
how
built
many?
A home in Fontana.
And then they
That's
went.
A lot of grandchildren.
Oh, yes. Each one has 4 or 5 at least.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know why they couldn't have
they
taken
know
care
the noise
of
comes
her.
From. Only here from
she
one side.
She had a daughter, they
oh,
would.
But it's this one.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Little babies.
Oh, fuck me.
They're all grown up now, of course.
Mm-hmm. This was 1965.
Oh. Oh. Now there is one family with George Wesson and his wife.
Okay, now I'm seeing a picture of Irma and Elsie. In their room at the Dogan Farm. Now,
yes.
Which room was this?
It was just one big bedroom over the dairy.
Oh, this was the one over the milk house?
Over the milk house, yeah.
Okay, I know where that is.
Oh,
then.
Do you?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and I had a small room next door to it.
Uh-huh.
Next door.
See.
Oh, that's a nice picture.
My granddaughter, Betsy, saw this. Grandma, I want that picture.
Oh, it's lovely.
She wants one.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
You look so young.
You can only see half of the face.
Yeah, I know why that girl she wants.
Well, both of you are very attractive young women.
Well, we looked alike.
Mm-hmm. Irmy was always plumper, wasn't she?
Maybe.
Yeah, she was.
One day, I don't know.
Here's another of the Dogan Farm. It's the big house in the background. You see the field out front, the round barn. To the side barn, and the sort of a side and front view of the big house. The porch is on. There's an old car there that looks like Lester Stam's. And then Irma is holding Bob, little Bob, and he's got ears that stick out. It's a cute little picture.
She had
and
a good time.
It shows, and it says on the back of it, something 25, September 21.
Sunday.
Mr. Dogan and John Ronald ready for church. Huh? But I don't see any John.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It'll be here in the car.
Okay, back in the car, you see people getting ready for church.
Yeah.
Going out to the car. So this probably would have been, what's this word right here?
Sonntag, Sunday.
Sunday, the 25th of September in 1921, right? Okay, well that would have been before...
He was born in April.
Before there was any Vera on the scene. They were going out to get into the car to go to church.
That's before I got there.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. That was before George got there.
Okay, so we got this.
You missed the C or B, Jack. You missed the Corinne Bort.
I know she told, called attention to it.
Time.
She called attention to it when it was in the paper. Okay, here's the dairy, the front picture of it, and a picture of Irma with little Bob.
That's Elsie.
That's Elsie holding the baby?
Yeah.
That's okay.
Me.
Okay. They're out on the lawn, and here's the big house with those maple, those elm trees being rather small at that point. And here's the milk house. And on the back of that, it says nothing. But that's Irma holding...
Elsie.
Elsie holding the baby.
Yeah.
And
Elsie.
It looks like it might almost be a double exposure right in there.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to be a ghost of a baby in there.
Yeah.
That's possible.
Yeah.
Now this is Irma and the baby and Esther.
Here's Irma, baby, and Esther. And where are they? Because here's boats. See, there's boats right there. Where do you Okay, now there's Daddy Dugan over in front of the little house. And this would have been before Ron and Vera came, so that's probably the Kasilkis sitting there. Were the Kasilkis there? Did you know the Kasilkis? Bernard Kasilki?
Yeah.
And little little Bernard Kasilki would be the pram right there. And Grandpa is standing, W.J. is standing with an apron on. And looking like a young man.
Isn't he?
He
sure is.
And that's the little house. And probably on the porch. Now there's no telling what's written on the back. And then on the other side, with Esther, they're there in some watery sort of place, and there's some boats, and somebody in the background in a midi blouse, and boats pulled up. So it may be Turtle Creek. It may be a place on the creek where people rode. Maybe it's over at Leeson's Park. Not sure.
She did not work at the door. Not guy helping. She helped once in a while.
Irma helped once in a while.
Yeah.
But she didn't work there like you did.
No.
Okay.
Guess who that is.
See, these are the ones we've seen, aren't they?
Wasn't that the house in front of the Dugan's house?
Okay, and there's George. And who's the dog you're patting? Is that old Bob?
Well, that's Daddy Dugan's dog.
That's old Bob, then.
Oh.
Do you remember old Bob?
Yeah.
Yeah, the picture of our grandpa as a little boy, my dad as a little boy.
Yeah.
And that old Bob.
That's old Bob, because he stayed there until just before, Jim Howard knew old Bob. So he would have been there. I mean, I know the dogs. Now, is this you?
Yeah. Way back in 22, he's here.
Uh-huh.
So that must be 22.
Look at how beautiful.
Oh.
Look at how beautiful, Elsie, in 1922.
Oh, lovely.
But look at these porch.
George is fine.
Now look, this must be the porch there that they remodeled, because we never had those pillars when we were little, Craig. That must have been the front porch that they remodeled.
And made another room on it.
Made the enclosed front
Wasn't
porch.
Wasn't that on the side?
Well, maybe it was on the side where they put the hired
that
men's
was on
room
the side
then.
When you come in there. Yes. I don't think it was in front.
Right. Okay, well then those pillars were taken out.
Uh-huh.
And they built onto it there.
Uh-huh.
Because that's something I don't recognize. They might have enclosed this, Craig. Remember there were that kind of cold room they had there where Grandma would keep things? And there were windows that went out to that room?
Yeah, and ended up having a freezer in there, which they still do.
Yeah.
I remember that.
I bet you that's the way it is. Okay. And that I certainly know. That's Craig. That's
him. It's with him?
Sure.
That's cute.
Sure, you.
I was only 4 or 5, so that was in 1934-35. I bet that was the year that the mother and dad took Patty to Florida and farmed us all out. And I stayed with Grandma and Grandpa.
You're looking mighty solemn, Craig.
Yes, I am.
And there's Bounce down in the front.
Let's see Bounce.
There's Bounce.
Oh, yes.
Okay, there's the round barn. And there's a bunch of people on horses. Looks like Bob Alder on the first horse, on the white one, but maybe not.
They're all workers there.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
But you don't know who they are.
No.
But you're not one of them?
No.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Didn't.
Okay.
And I wonder who this is. Oh, dear me. It couldn't be Stamps, could it? Stamps. She looks a bit like
You know, Ronald might be able to tell who they are. That might be the Kasilkis. Because he's got a look of a Kasilki, but I don't remember.
Should I just write something?
Mm-hmm.
Probably Dad could tell if that was the Kasilkis or if that was somebody else. I can get these. Oh, and there they are building the, doing the thrashing.
Yeah.
And there's the steam thing, and there's,
wonderful.
That's you, Elsie, right?
No, it's Ermie.
That's Ermie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Look, I have to go home and Elkhorn after the start of the business.
That's quite a few years later.
There they are in Elkhorn, right.
Yeah.
That's the way they looked when I knew them, that I remember them.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now this is the family again, and my family, our family. This is George Wesson and Robert and Ivan.
Uh-huh.
And this is our George. And this is, who's, are those Betty? Oh, they are Cruises. Yeah, Cruises was
Cruzy.
Yeah, they're Cruises. But this is our little Sylvia and Betsy and George.
Uh-huh.
But you know, just we had a good time together. All
the cousins,
time.
Yeah. Is Jacob Cruzy still alive?
Oh yes.
Where does he live?
I love it in Utah.
He's about 90.
Smithfield.
They're
Utah.
In Utah.
Yeah, they became Mormons.
Smithfield.
Swissfield.
Yeah.
Smithfield.
Smithfield.
I don't know as I'll get to Utah, but maybe I should call
Mormons.
Him up.
Who are they?
Yeah.
Jacob Cruzy.
Yeah.
Do you have their address?
Oh, yeah.
Probably have it at home
somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I
have. They all decide for Christmas.
Because it would be nice to write them and call them.
Yes.
And see what he has to say.
There's Bob.
There's Bob. And then there's the letter.
What about the pictures in the book?
Yeah.
Ermie was just saying that Daddy was like a daddy to them, and it made them feel so at home and so happy, and that's really why they stayed in the country and became Americans, was because of the influence of,
That's right. Not Ermie, Elsie.
Elsie, right. okay, now here's some more pictures. And here's one that looks like, it seems to be the same one, or almost the same one, with maybe with maybe the Kasilkis. Anyway, it's somebody standing there. And it seems to be the side of the yard of the little house. So I would guess where that is. It looks seems to be facing east. Bernard Kasilke. He was the herdsman. And a very good man. And there is Elsie and Ermi feeding chickens. Yeah, and is that, but I don't recognize that building. It might be one of the outbuildings that I don't recognize. It's a low building.
It is me, huh?
I don't know. It may be. And then this cat's looking through the door, and this looks like it might be the back door of the big house. This looks like it might be the back door.
You took so many pictures.
Of the big house.
Yeah. Here I am at cornfield, and I still love that.
There you are in the cornfield.
That's George.
Yeah. Oh, what tall corn. Wow, what tall corn.
Beautiful.
And then there's a bad exposure, but it's got, it's either a double exposure, well, it doesn't seem to be a double exposure. It's out on the front lawn. And people sitting, and there's the house. And, that I don't recognize, that house. But this looks like it's the back step there at the big house. Out to the wood pile and the... Because those were the kinds of steps, and I think you might be sitting there with all those cats. Yeah, I need to check and see if the sidewalk went down that way. Of course, it may have been destroyed since then.
Yeah,
I don't really remember a sidewalk from there. But it might be. Now, that is not familiar. It looks like a schoolhouse.
Yeah, that is a schoolhouse.
Oh, yeah.
I remember we went there for a picnic, but
yeah,
I don't remember where.
Uh-huh. And there's Bob Alder and
me.
Little Bob and
me and
Ermi and Elsie.
Mm-hmm. Out. Yeah.
Out on a picnic.
Yeah, from the big
house. Okay. And,
I don't know those pictures.
This is all...
We're getting back into our corner.
Yes.
That farm I don't recognize. That house.
I mean, George and me, I don't know what that is.
That's Linda's house.
Oh, in the line.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Now,
this must be later because Bob is older.
Yeah, he's
here.
Older here.
What lake is this?
Gosh, it's all Bob and you see.
Might be Delavan Lake?
Mm-hmm. Could be Delavan Lake,
yes.
Yeah.
It must be. Let's see.
Did you go to...
Yeah,
that's Delavan Lake. Did you know Pleasant Lake up by Elkhorn?
Point.
Just north of Elkhorn?
Yeah.
Across from Lauderdale Lake?
Yeah.
That's where we went for many summers when I was little.
That's
now that's the...
Cot.
Now that's the farm. That's the big house. And... You see, they haven't built this out yet, Craig.
What
I don't
kind
think.
Of car is that?
That was a sedan, a Ford sedan. Yeah, we bought that together with the Alders.
Oh, yes.
I wasn't even here then.
Yeah, before you came.
Before I came.
Yeah. But you see, there's the balcony upstairs.
Yeah.
With the rooms. And then there's this dock out in some lake that we don't know. And here is a field that looks familiar.
Something.
That's a familiar looking spot,
yeah.
But...
That's just a
And there's the baby again.
I don't know what that
and
is.
And there's harvesting.
That's on the farm.
Yeah, let me see if I can recognize anybody on that. I can't recognize any of those hired men. what Grandpa Ronald might be able to those are good pictures to have because they show how they did things.
Yeah, but that's it. That's just
yeah, so I want you to hang on to those.
You betcha.
And when I get the money from my grant, oh, there's a grand picture.
Yeah.
Why, then I'll get these copied.
You can have them.
Oh, and see, you know, I want you to hang on to them, and I'll get them copied when I get the money.
In forever, yeah. Yeah, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's another view of the round barn from the other direction. Here we're seeing it from one direction, and there
yeah,
was somebody
right.
came out in the field and took it from the other direction. Oh, those are grand pictures. There's the straw stack out behind. I see what that little building is now out behind the little house.
This looks pretty.
That one.
Yes.
And,
yeah, I remember now that house back there. I never thought
of it. The milk house.
Where the Stams were living.
Oh. Two stories.
Yeah. Oh, and there's a beautiful picture
of
the barn.
You know, inside, what impressed me, inside the barn, it was like a church. So clean.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
Beautiful. And yet they had cows in there. It was so clean and
yes.
beautiful.
Yes, it was.
Impressive. That's what impressed Bob, too.
And it impressed all my growing up. It impressed me.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, now there is, that's a very fine picture of the...
You, that's why I took it.
Of the barn.
So impressive.
And that would have been about 1921, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
No, this was 22, because yeah. I was there.
Okay, 22, and then
yeah.
there's some pigs.
Yeah.
And you there's some cows enjoyed. Out eating at the mangers.
The big ones.
Mm-hmm. And there's the big house again.
Yeah.
With
I'm glad you like those pictures.
Oh, yeah, there's the big house and the
sure
barn.
So.
And then here is, that's old Bob.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And here's somebody going by in a wagon. With a horse, somebody riding in it, looks like a fine lady.
Mm-hmm.
There's the milk house and
yeah.
the barn and the big house. And old Bob. And there's inside the dairy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now you worked in the bottling,
yeah.
did you?
I worked down there, yeah.
Uh-huh.
That was something.
There's
and do you know how much money you got for a quart of milk?
Well, I did know, and I'm not sure what it was in
25 cents a quart, and the others were all 10 and 12 cents.
Uh-huh.
And he got this, the only one.
So milk and elk went for 7 cents at one time. There.
Yeah.
Well, I know it went down
25.
During the Depression.
Yeah.
Yes, I suppose. But that, he had good business then.
Well, that looks like a churn.
There's Daddy Dugan there with a little... Bob, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't see him very clearly, but
no.
there he is. Mm-hmm. And all the cows coming to look.
See what a good time we had.
Yes, yes.
It's just like home.
Okay, and there's a cow. And there's some more. Oh, there's a nice picture. There's Daddy Dugan with little Bob.
Yeah.
And there's the round barn in the back. All the cows standing and looking. They were always clean.
Oh. I guess, yeah, here's one more.
Oh, now fine. Those are the, that's on the way up to the milk house.
Who's that?
I don't know his name.
I liked him. Wasn't he peddling milk?
Look at those good milkers.
No,
he
was a milker.
Those milking machines. Dad will be interested in seeing those milking machines.
Oh.
Yeah, there's what, little Bob again?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grew up there.
Uh-huh.
That's
is that the
car
we
bought with Stan.
Yeah.
Well, that's the one that my goat went through, I'm sure.
You know what?
My goat climbed up on top
oh,
and
I
fell
see.
Through in the 30s. And there it is again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We thought that was something.
Uh-huh.
Gosh.
I guess
and
that's
then,
about
We were so happy.
Is this up over the milk house, or is this somewhere else?
I don't think so. That's in Elkhorn.
Those cabinets look familiar, but not. So now we're here in Elkhorn with chickens and things. Let's.
That's me. That's in Elkhorn.
With little Robert. Just after we
There's
back.
a milk thing. There's
that's yours. That's the way you have to.
And there's your bottler and milk. Yeah. And here, we'll turn this off. And
okay, here's something that Elsie forgot to tell us.
When my daughter had, my sister had her baby.
Yeah.
You know, the 20, when was it? April 9th or something. First of week of April.
Mm-hmm.
And she had to go from the farm down to Beloit in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And we had about 5 feet of snow.
Oh, wow.
It was 6th of April.
The 6th of April?
Yeah.
It was a big snowstorm, huh?
Big snowstorm and so much snow in the road, they had to take a sled and the horses pull them down into town.
And they pulled?
In the hospital.
They pulled Irma on the sled, huh?
On the sled, on a big sled. It was a beautiful sled. And her husband went along.
A bobsled. A bobsled.
It was a bigger sled, I guess. But it was so funny, you know, to have that winter and the snow there. The first time we were there, that's the first time that happened.
To have that late of snow and that big of snow.
Yeah. But then it got better. When they came home, they had no trouble. They brought him back home. So he was born there at the Logan farm.
And then stayed there for quite a while,
and
according to the pictures.
There. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
At least a year old.
Uh-huh. Well, here are the people that were on the farm when you were there.
Oh, good.
Let's see, there was Leon Richardson. And Wallace Marlowe.
Marlowe.
You remember Wallace Marlowe?
I think so. I don't know. Yeah.
Uh-huh. How about Ted Selmer?
Remember Ted, that's the one with the milking machines standing in front there.
Good.
That's Ted with the milking machines. That's
good.
Probably Ted Selmer then. He just recently died.
Knew his last name.
He recently died.
Yeah. And I never got to see him and talk to him. Mm-hmm. Joseph Greer.
Well, I'm too old to remember.
And then Hubert Rogan. And Robert Alder. Lester Stamm.
Lester.
Yeah.
Stamm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's him.
And Mrs. Robert Alder and Elsa Smith.
Oh, she's there too?
She's there. And then in 1922 came George Charner.
That's right.
And you worked a half a month for $24 a month the first month you came.
Well, the bank offered him $60 a month, and that wasn't much either. So he figured.
Yeah, I got board and room, yeah.
Oh, he got board and room
on the farm.
He got board
and room on the farm and $24 a month.
And I got $30 a month.
Oh, you did? You got more than he did.
You got that in a month. I got it in half a month.
No, Dad says that it was $24 a month.
Oh.
He corrected himself. He said a half a month for $24. He says no for $24 a month.
No, he didn't get more than that.
And then there was Dale Patton. And Kenneth Whitson. And John Cormitz. Something like that. I could look in the K's. And then in June of 22, Ronald Dogan came on. And Robert Alder quit June of 22.
Good. I was wondering when it was.
But Elsa Smith stayed on.
Betcha.
And there was a Mr. Jack there, a day laborer.
That's him. Jack Cruzy.
No, this is Mr. Jack, the last name. We've got Jacob Cruzy in the book, but Dad didn't come on him yet.
I see.
And then he said George Charner was there in July of 22, and John Tomlinson was there in 22. Mm-hmm. In October of 22, Charner was still there, and a Mr. Porter, and a Mr. Jack, and a Robert Travis, and a Glenn Guile, Cyril Sherwood. Any of those names?
Too hard to remember.
What?
Huh?
Travis, I know.
Robert Travis?
I don't.
I'm sure I know.
Well, those were some of the people that you worked with, and some of them that you that you fed.
60.
Yeah.
60 years ago.
Well, do you remember any little anecdotes? Anything Grandma said, other than, you know, you've got to cut the head off, Elsie, or any little stories that.
Sorry, there must have been some.
Well, I'm sure there were, but.
So
I'll tell you who knew a lot of them, and that was Moo Stamm, Mildred Stamm.
Still.
Had quite a memory for stories.
Really good.
And I got lots of stories
well,
of hers, Don.
She was very sweet to me, too, when my sister left, and Robert left, and I was there. And she would come over, you know, visit. It was so close and nice to me.
Uh-huh.
I'll forget her. Howling.
What do you remember about Esther?
Well, she was a little, I don't know, she didn't make Daddy Dugan too happy, I'm afraid. They were a little worried about her at times.
Oh, yeah.
Is that true?
See, oh, yeah.
That's what I have in my mind. They were worried about her.
Well, after you left, she had an illegitimate baby in 1925,
right.
I think it would have been.
That's right.
And,
I remember
and you people were married in 25. Well,
yeah.
It would have been shortly after your marriage. When were you married?
In May.
In May. I think hers came. Her baby came about in October, so she was probably pregnant at the time.
That's what they were worried about.
And but they didn't. They didn't know it then.
What?
Then she married the brother, didn't she?
Well, the father was Floyd Peters. The father was Floyd Peters.
Oh.
And she married Herbert Peters, the brother.
Oh, I see. Huh. Well, I know she was a strange girl, and she wasn't as much at home or being around with us as you would think she'd be.
Well, she would have been in high school, wouldn't she?
Yes.
And going back
yes.
and forth. And,
yes.
And,
oh, yes. Yeah.
Did she help some in the kitchen?
No.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. My sister did,
I think that that Esther did earlier help in the kitchen.
There was a very nice lady that was there before I was. She was there maybe a week or so, or a few days anyway. I met her.
Hilda?
And then she left. Yeah.
Hilda?
That's
okay.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
She left. She was very nice.
Uh-huh.
Fine lady.
Yeah, lady. People I've talked to have remembered Hilda.
Yeah. And I felt sorry for Mrs. Dugan because I couldn't English too well. Oh my goodness, that, you know, it was hard.
Can you remember the routine? You were up,
oh,
somebody
yeah.
lit the fire for you
oh,
at 4:30.
Yes. Oh yes. At
4 o'clock. And then you were
and
up at 4:30.
It was burning beautifully, and I came down about 5 o'clock and started breakfast.
Uh-huh. And, what
and I had to set the whole table.
And what would you have for breakfast?
Oatmeal?
Yeah, cooked oatmeal.
I know, I had oatmeal.
What else? We had eggs. I don't remember. That's too bad.
Bacon, I suppose?
I suppose, yeah. Oh, sure. Uh-huh. Good breakfast, yeah.
Big, heavy breakfast. Yeah. And then the men would come in and eat about what time?
Four, six,
what time
seven.
Would they go out there to milk?
They milked before they ate.
Well, you would know. You would know that.
I didn't milk.
No, but you know when they got it and got back to milk. Pretty early.
It would have been about 4 o'clock
at
that time.
Oh yes, they are.
Because in 23 or 24, Jim Howard remembers that and says that Daddy Dugan said he didn't care what time you got up or how long it took you to get ready, but he wanted you at the barn at 4 o'clock. So you could get up at 5 or 4 and run down, or you could get up at 3:30 and shower and curl your hair and do whatever you wanted, but you had to be ready and at work at 4 o'clock in the barn. And then after the milking, then the men would come in for breakfast.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I had to be early.
And then after breakfast, you'd serve the men, and then after breakfast, you'd clean up?
Clean up. And what was interesting is we had sort of a
It wasn't a washer, a machine, dishwasher, you know, but it was like a, in the middle of the kitchen floor, a white thing with, and the water would come over from the faucets, from the sink, into the machine, and it would wash it. I didn't have to.
So it was kind of a dishwasher?
Kind of a dishwasher. I never had to wash dishes, but I had to wipe them, take them out and wipe them.
So Grandpa and Grandma had all the modern conveniences to
really,
to have
some.
That big dishwasher.
They really had some. And we had, but what I had to do was making butter, by hand, you know. And a wooden thing with a butter.
Then they didn't sell butter at the time.
I don't think so.
Not at that time, not yet.
No, that was used. Yeah. We didn't bother too much, you know, we would have to do that every day. But whenever we needed butter, boy, I had to learn to do that. And that's pretty hard for a city girl.
Were there two dashers?
Yeah.
There were two dashers in your church.
I think so.
Because you made both hands go just
that?
Then.
Don't you remember that? Quite a while since we met. And I think we had a washing machine for laundry.
I remember those wash days. And I don't remember if you had our
I remember
tubs.
Don't you remember a washing machine? Seems to me. Not like they have nowadays.
Oh, no. You might have had a washing machine that you run by hand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We had to wash it by hand.
In McGurr.
I know we had one.
McGurr, Illinois.
Yeah. Yeah, that was
quite a place.
Yeah, it's nice. New. Something new, different. But what the Dugan did to us Swiss people was changing our mind and wanted to stay here in America. That's the great thing that happened to us. It was the Dugan that did it.
And did you ever regret it?
Never regretted it.
Uh-huh.
We loved it. That's what I told Daddy Dugan there last time. And when Daddy Dugan passed away, we went to see Mrs. Dugan. She lived in an apartment, didn't she?
In a house in town.
That's where we went to see.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that stairs.
Craig is
down into the
Craig and George are talking about putting the cows to bed.
And not only that, but to communicate with the cows.
Yeah.
Both Grandpa and my dad would talk to them and be sure they were comfortable.
I don't remember. Did you have music in the barn?
Later on, they had a radio with music in the barn. I'm not sure it was there in 1922.
And depending on the herdsman, who was head herdsman, was what kind of music they had. Usually it was a hillbilly station or somebody LS, the Curry Farmer Station.
Oh, yeah.
But years later we had a head herdsman who was a classical musician and a scholar.
Oh.
And he had WHA, the
classical
station in Madison with classical music on all day long. I think somewhere someone has done a study that cows give more milk than their classical music on.
Well, they like it. All animals
do. Well, soothing. They let down more milk
than the rock and
rock
the
and roll.
So I've got this whole story that Jim Howard told me of all the way things were on the farm.
He remembers well.
Yeah.
Must be younger, a lot younger.
Well, he was a young man in 1924. He would have been 20, 21. These are my criteria for cleanliness, and tells of the spotless white cap and apron he is to wear at every milking, that the cows are brushed and shaved and washed.
See?
But the steps are in clearing the manure, washing down the sidewalk and gutters, and spreading lime. He says that the walls are to be regularly whitewashed.
I know.
Mm-hmm. And,
beautiful.
Does it say more about the, does it say anything about the milk house? Paul Erickson. You don't remember Paul Erickson. Would he have been there? That wasn't on that list, was it, that I read?
No.
The former herdsman, Paul Erickson, stays on a week or two to break Jim in. Paul has a muscle exerciser machine up in his room, a contraption of straps and pulleys with which he exercises in all his spare time. All the while, he is beating up on the guy who stole his girl back in Maiden Rock, Wisconsin. Paul leaves, ready for vengeance, and Jim is the one in charge of the cows. He finds that W.J., Daddy, as he is called by everyone, treats him with respect. He never tells him, "No, you're doing that wrong. Do it this way." He never seems to be checking up on him. In the mornings, when Jim pushes the two-wheeled cart with its four cans of milk on it from the barn to the milk house and sees Daddy's head peeking from the small window of his bedroom in the big house, he never feels he is looking out to spot loiterers or to count how many loads they are getting in. It is only Daddy surveying his world before emerging. The weather gets cold enough for the cows to start sleeping in the barn, and W.J. teaches Jim how to put the cows to bed. At 9 or 9:30, they return to the barn. The cows are all lying down. They've eaten. They've kicked hay out of their mangers. W.J. and Jim get them all up. They sweep the hay into the mangers, get more hay. A lot of the cows, once on their feet, make droppings. Not all fall into the gutter. They scrape the manure into the gutter, tidy up around the cow, and shake up her bedding. All the while, Grandpa croons to his lassies. He also talks to Jim. You'll be surprised how much cleaner the cows are in the morning and how much more they'll eat than if you just abandon them from 6 o'clock at night till 4 o'clock in the morning. He gives Jim other advice. As Mr. Horde says, the cow is a mother. Treat her as such. And every day go around and look in front of each. Go around in front of each cow. Watch how she eats. Look her in the eye. See if it's got a bright sparkle or if it's losing luster. Then you know how that cow's feeling today. Go back around behind her. Look at her droppings. From them, you'll know how she's going to be feeling tomorrow. Isn't that?
And he was a minister, wasn't he?
Right.
He was not in the farm.
Jim thinks everything Daddy tells him makes a lot of sense. He is also impressed with the routine of the big house. The meals are served in the dining room, and the hired men eat with the family. Mother Dogan, herself a master homemaker, bakes all the bread, pies, and cakes and spreads a lavish board. Breakfast is never merely bacon and eggs, merely buckwheat cakes and sausage, but bacon, eggs, hot cakes, sausage, toast, jam, applesauce, or another fruit sauce, fruit juice, milk, cream, and coffee. Dinners at noon make the table groan even more than breakfast. Suppers are simpler, but equally fulsome. At meals, W.J. does not sit at the head, but at the middle of the table. He always says grace. After supper, he reads aloud from the Bible and from a commentary. Before bedtime, Jim habitually polishes off a quart of milk. The day-old milk returned from the route is in a box inside the cooler door, and it is free for the taking by the men with families in town and by the boarders. Does this all seem familiar?
Very.
As a boarder, Jim has his bed made every morning and his sheets and clothes laundered every week. Now, that's what you would be doing.
I have to go make the beds.
Elsie made the beds. Okay. Mother Dogan and her helper, Hilda. This would be after you leave. Maybe, but Hilda was before you. Okay, that's worth knowing. Hilda came... Hilda was before Elsie.
Was she there?
Well, maybe there was somebody else before you that had a different name. Let's see. Mother Dogan and her helper Hilda toil over the big wash tubs in the men's washroom off the kitchen. To wash or use the toilet in the closed room at the rear, he must thread his way around tubs and women. And in the wintertime, clotheslines laden with overalls. More clotheslines are stretched in the cellar near the furnace room, and sometimes Jim helps to hang the clothes or carry a basket. Spring, summer, and fall, the clothes are hung outside to flap in the sunshine between the elms on the big house lawn. For his rest period, he can stretch out on his bed in his room or sit down in the men's parlor off the dining room where the radio is tuned into WLS and there are magazines, books, and papers to read. There is also a Victrola and records. Out in the barn, when short-handed, W.J. sometimes works along with him, taking the place of someone with a day off. Sometimes, especially on Saturday and Sunday afternoons, visitors from town come to see the milking. W.J. gives a mischievous glance at Jim, takes the cow leader, catches a cow through the nose and exposes her gums. "This poor cow has no upper set of teeth," he says. "She was born this way." The visitors cluck with surprise and sympathy. Daddy Dogan does not give away the joke, nor do Jim and the other barn hands. Jim works a year on the farm. He does his very best. He and the other farm barn worker, Dave Clark, make a smooth team. Every week they scrape the barnyard. Every 3 months they whitewash the barn walls.
No wonder.
Jim learns to swing all the way around the barn, hand over hand. On the manure trolley track, Grandpa sees him and says, "Hi, I didn't know this was the big top." Let's see. Then Jim leaves. He goes and gets an operation on his leg, and then we go into the long story of Glenn Guile when he tried to kill Grandpa.
Who did?
A hired man named Glenn Guile.
Was that after we left?
That was after you left, John. You might have heard about it up there.
Yeah.
It's the sort of thing that I'm sure that when Grandpa and Grandma came up to visit, they would have told about, so you might have heard it. Anyway, this story goes on. Years later, he's driving through Beloit and sees a Dogan milk truck. He turns and drives out to the dairy. He goes into the office. "Hello, Ron," he says. "I saw a Dogan truck there on Milwaukee Road, and I couldn't go by without saying hello to the baby's milkman. I see you had the same slogan." "Jim Howard," exclaims Daddy. "That's not the only thing that's the same. Do you know who is driving that truck?" "How could I possibly know?" Jim asks.
"Lester Stamm."
"Lester Stamm," says Daddy.
Oh, no.
Jim shakes his head. "He couldn't be. He was driving a route when I came here 40 years ago, and he was middle-aged then." Daddy shows Jim the farm, the pond, the seed buildings, the round barn with its milk coming up to the milk house through the underground tube. "What do you think of our operation? How does it look?" he asks. Jim affirms all the progress, but adds, "After all these years, time will take its toll." "What do you think?" presses Daddy. "Well, the barn housekeeping, the care, doesn't seem as good as it used to be." "I know it," Daddy says with a rueful shake of his head. "It's a problem getting help who give a damn these days. And all the time I've been connected with the dairy business, there have been only two who used to do everything on their own without being prodded. The two top barn men we ever had were Bernard Kosilke and Jim Howard." Jim is pleased. Had Ronald given only one name, he'd think he was buttering him up, but with the two names, he believes him. Jim tells about W.J. "Daddy never preached to me," he said, "yet working with him and living with him was like a sermon every day." He looks up at the Ames on the silo. "My first day here, I wondered if those words included the working man, too. I found out very soon it went for every person on the place. We were truly a family." Daddy reminds him of the Glenn Guile episode. Jim grins wryly. "I've tended a number of herds since Daddy Dogan taught me," said Jim, "and that was the one time in my life that I almost didn't go back out to the barn and put the cows to bed." Because Jim,
well,
see, we're hearing from
to the ice cream plant in downtown Sandusky.
But he didn't like to stay.
The reduced wages. Stayed there a little while.
This was after you left the Dogan farm. You went to Sandusky.
Oh yes.
Oh, and then you came back to Elkhorn. And
then we came back to Wisconsin.
Well, what were things like in the milk house?
Where?
What was the routine in the dairy?
No, I wish I remember it.
On the Dogan farm.
To cool the milk and bottle it, but that was just raw milk at that time.
Mm-hmm. Dogan farm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just raw milk.
And they'd bring it up from the barn.
I don't even remember separating, but we did have some. We had some cream for sale too, didn't we?
I'm sure you did.
Unless they had a separate, it's funny, I don't remember those things.
The same way, it's kind of hard when you're old.
When I think of all, I don't remember, and here I am.
Now we are both 80s.
Yeah.
80.
Well, I don't remember a whole
85.
Lot, I'm only 55.
You are. 85, okay. Maybe.
Next year I'll catch up.
Yeah, well, I'll be, don't tell me.
In March I'll be 86, and
okay.
Then I'll be a little closer.
I'll stay 86.
My Uncle Pat always was a little irritated at one of his aunts, Aunt Lillian, I believe. She was always saying if my... she was very, very good to
she was
my
partial.
Dad. She was partial.
Partial
to Ronald. And would always say, well, she'd give Daddy Ron something and tell Uncle Pat that now when you're as old as Ron, you'll get something that way. And Pat quickly figure out, I'll never be as old as Ron because he's 2 years older than I am.
Oh, that's cute. Yeah.
And the interesting thing is that that still rankled when Uncle Pat was in it. It was 80.
Yeah.
Or 79. When did he die? He died just recently.
He died after I think it was about November, that I think about a year ago we met. And I was going to do this interview and so forth, and then so many things happened. Barbara broke her leg.
Oh.
Uncle Pat died, and I went back to Wisconsin.
He died in January.
Gosh.
Then Barb had a back operation and was bedridden for a while. And so I just didn't get out and do much of anything except to be here.
Yeah. My goodness. Yeah. It's quite an interesting evening. Thank you very much.
Well, if you remember any stories, why, let me know.
I wish I would remember if I had to make the butter with one hand or two. You think one, huh? It was a long time. It went a long time to you.
Yeah.
The beginning.
Maybe Ronald would remember that.
Yeah, he would.
Churn was like.
Yes. One or two by hand.
Because he would have had to have done it at some point, you know.
Yeah. But I didn't. I don't know. I always was more of a farm girl than a city girl, didn't appeal to me.
Mm-hmm.
The farm, and especially the Dugan farm, did it to all of it, even to my brother-in-law.
Yeah, so
professor of, isn't that something?
And so he stayed quite happily as a dairyman, didn't he, for the rest of his life?
Stayed the same thing as
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very happily. Mr. Davis was a wonderful partner. And he had the farm before, and then they wanted to start the dairy business. And asked, I don't know how he got to Robert, you know, some friends must have connected them and told him after. Okay.
Your sister was very dear and sweet to me when I was a little boy.
You remember her?
I remember her very well.
Oh, I remember her so well.
Really?
And, one guy.
No, she was. She was very nice.
11 or 12, it was during the war.
Really?
And my parents let Ed Dressner and me ride our bicycles to the YMCA camp near East, near Maquoneague.
Yeah.
And that was quite a ride, 42 miles. That was quite a ride for 11-year-olds. And so arrangements were made that we'd ride as far as Elkhorn the first day and stay with the Alders. And they had a nice tent in the backyard that we could stay in.
Yeah, they did have a
Ed
nice
and I,
one.
And then we rode our bicycles all around Elkhorn. And she gave us a dime for a big ice cream cone.
Oh, yes.
Nice
she...
supper.
Just a high point that I have always
I don't remember that story. I don't remember you ever doing that.
Well, we did. And she had to come up twice that evening and tell us to be quiet. And the second time, very sternly.
Oh, no!
Ed and I were on a laughing kick and having the time of our lives and making too much noise. I guess we were waking the cows up.
Yeah.
But anyway, Ron Irma came out, and the second time was very stern. And then one other time, whether my parents went somewhere and farmed us kids out, or it was just an invitation, I don't know, but I stayed with the Alders.
Oh.
Again, I was about 10 or 9. I was younger than that. Stayed for about a week.
Yeah.
And I remember Yvonne was particularly closer, my age, particularly attentive to me. And he had a gun. And whether it was a plague down there or not, as years go by, I think he's putting me on. But he said he could shoot that, if he shot that gun, the whole pile of corn would explode. And I was after him all week to shoot that gun. He never would.
And he would
get hold. I think it was a toy gun.
Maybe. he's a wonderful.
Well, the older kids, they have more fun together.
Yeah.
When you get together with those three,
yeah,
it's nothing but laugh.
We have good
times. Remember big little books? They're cost a dime, and they're the forerunner of the comic book. Well, the older boys had a bunch of them, and Aunt Irma, and I read them all. Aunt Irma said I could have one. And so I whittled down my choice, and I remember at the time
not too subtle psychology. I think, well, now if I can't.